Please do be seated. And I pray that I'd speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I was chattering to Valerie Capon earlier on this morning, and she did point out that in the notes on Partnership News, there's a typo. We are, in fact, united with God, not untied with God. Revelation is quite difficult enough anyway to understand without those typographical errors. So I shall change that at some stage. But there are an interesting set of readings this morning where things are not quite as they seem, and individuals need a bit of help to understand what's going on as we go through, as you see the readings from Samuel, Revelation, and the Gospel of John. Israel's in a time of Samuel, Israel's in a bit of limbo, really. They've had the times of the judges, but there is no real spiritual leadership. People are keeping things going, but apart from Deborah, who comes in between the judges and Samuel, there has been no leadership, and Samuel comes along, and Samuel is the person that anoints both Saul and David, subsequently as the king of Israel. So he's quite an important character. But as we see from that from the reading we had this morning, he doesn't understand what's going on, and he needs help to help him understand what's happening. Similarly, when we get to the book of Revelation, the bits that we've had, the bit that we had read for us today, John, we're not quite sure which John it is, but John needs help to understand what's happening, just as Samuel did. So does John, and one of the elders points out what's happening to him, and things are not quite as they seem. And similarly, when we get to the gospel reading, Nathanael doesn't quite understand what's going on, but things are not as Nathanael would understand. We read that, we see that in the gospel. The gospel reading, it's an interesting little piece of the Gospel of John. We've had the bit about the Word became flesh, the pieces that we have read at Christmas. We've had the little section on John the Baptist, and those are typically the pieces of John, the bits of John that we read during Advent. And then we've got, just before John goes on to talk about the wedding of Cana at Galilee, which is, as we know, a really significant event for John, he speaks about the bringing together of these first disciples. And to begin with, there are two disciples with John the Baptist. One is Andrew, and one, we don't know the name, but everybody assumes is John, the gospel writer that's with John the Baptist. John points out Jesus, and these two disciples go off and follow Jesus. And they ask him, that's an interesting question, they say, well, where do you live? And Jesus says, come and see. And so they go off and see, and then Andrew tells his brother Simon Peter, and that's when Jesus says to him, you're going to be called Cephas, the rock. And then the next day is where our Bible reading it opens, where Jesus meets up with Philip. And then Philip goes off and speaks to Nathanael. So we've got these five individuals, all of whom are friends, coming together. And again, one of the things that Philip says to Nathanael is, come and see. And the, where do you live? Come and see. You know, who is he? Come and see. Are themes that actually come back during John's gospel. Because it is Jesus who says to the disciples, live in me. They've interesting that they go and say, well, where do you live? What's this going to be about? And after a while, Jesus says, now come and live in me. So that John's setting us up. But what we see in those friends, the first five disciples, and actually for Nathanael, the only other time he appears by name is right at the end of John's Gospel, where Jesus appears to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Apart from that, don't really see him at all. But the friends get together. They're excited and they share what they have found. And it's quite interesting that friendship too is one of the themes that John puts through his gospel. It's John who has Jesus saying, just before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane at the Last Supper, where he says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And so that the theme of living, seeing, and being friends runs all the way through John's gospel. When those first disciples see Jesus, they can't help but tell their friends what they have seen, who they have found, what they have discovered. And it's interesting that as the early church grew, it grew as people just told their friends. And perhaps as we look to share our faith with others, it's sometimes just as simple as speaking with our friends and inviting our friends to come and see the friend that we have, so that they can become too friends of Jesus. Sometimes it doesn't seem for these early disciples that it's very complicated. They don't know what's going to happen. Where are you going to live? Where do you live? We don't know what it might entail. But their enthusiasm and their passion for what they have seen and what they've experienced just in that short period of time overflows. And there is a challenge to us in that we speak about what we are passionate about. You know, if we see our friends, we know what they're interested in and we'll ask them about it. We speak about what we are passionate about. And there is a challenge just within these few verses about what is the passion that we have for our faith. Because if that passion is within us, then we can't help but speak about it. It's not something we have to think, how do we do it? What words should we use? It just spills out of us. And that's what happened to those early disciples. As we read those just few verses of John, the encounter with Jesus spilled out. They couldn't keep it in. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. You will not believe this. I didn't believe it, but you will not. Come and see. And there was something sufficiently compelling about that come and see that drew people on. And it was Nathanael coming and seeing, responding in that sense to the invitation of Jesus, that led to those first disciples following Christ. And we can imagine that their spiritual journey is probably similar to our spiritual journey. There was that initial, I've met Christ. There was then the, you know, huge enthusiasm. They would witness what had happened. They would see Jesus doing things, speaking things, people coming to see what was happening. And then as they get towards the cross, there's challenge, there's probably disappointment, there's probably, when Jesus is crucified, that sense of failure. But ultimately, our spiritual lives, like their spiritual lives, whatever those ups and downs, we know that they end in glory. And that's part of what Revelation is about. Because the exchange that Jesus has with Nathanael is also quite insightful. Because Jesus speaks with Nathanael, speaks to him as an Israelite, And then Nathanael declares Jesus the King of Israel. It's a strange title in that sense. It doesn't come very often. But an acknowledgement of what he's seen in Christ. And Jesus turns to Nathanael and says, actually, you haven't seen anything yet. Because you will see angels coming up and down on the Son of Man into heaven. And some of those early disciples, and Nathanael in particular, were probably reasonably devout Jews and therefore would understand the linkage that Jesus is making with Jacob's ladder. Jacob, as we know, was quite a devious character to begin with. He was the guy who, you know, pinched Esau's birthright, ends up running away, fleeing for his life, and having a dream where God speaks to him, and Jacob has this vision of the ladder with angels ascending and descending. Just as an aside, it's quite interesting that the angels are always ascending and then descending, which would seem to imply angels are around here on earth.
Yeah.
They don't have to come down here to get back up. They're here and they're... That's also John, the up and downy bit. But and Jesus is replacing himself, if you like, with that ladder. He is saying, I am the ladder. Now, when God met with Jacob, he spoke to him and he said, you know, you will come back to this land. Your people will inherit it. And Jacob named that place Bethel, which is house of God, Bethel. That the place where God is. And in Jesus speaking to Nathanael as he did, he too is saying, this is the place, I am the place where God is. Just the words that Jesus used have huge meaning and a significant meaning to Nathanael and to the Jews. This is the place where God is. The divine word that had become flesh is the place where God is, Emmanuel. God is with us, the God who we speak about at Christmas as being with us. And it's interesting that Nathanael, his name, translates as called by God. Nathanael, called by God. And Jesus speaks to Nathanael and says, this is where heaven and earth get connected. This is where heaven comes down. This is Emmanuel. This is the God who is with us. And the angels get connected. We get connected. Humanity gets connected as we go with Christ into heaven. That's what we invite our friends to be part of. Revelation speaks of what happens ultimately when heaven and earth get connected and the powers of heaven meet with the powers of earth as time is wrapped up. That's what Revelation is about. But as you'll see in the notes, centrally, Revelation is about Jesus. If we try and interpret Revelation without seeing it as being about Jesus, then we go off in all kinds of different ways, and we know people have done that over the past. The book of Revelation is about Jesus at its very center. We don't know who wrote it. Some people think it is John who wrote his gospel. Some people say it isn't, because the style is very different. Although it's interesting that it's a different book, so it would be a different style. And when Jesus is talking to Nathanael about heaven and earth getting connected, just perhaps if he wrote Revelation, What he's talking about in Revelation is, and this is what happens when heaven and earth get connected. It's interesting, the scrolls are written on both sides, which wasn't usual. One of the things that Jews believe is that the tablets of stone that the Ten Commandments were written on were written on both sides, and you could read the commandments whichever way you looked at them. Kind of an interesting connection that John has with the Old Testament, and it's that kind of symbolism and linkage which makes me think, I wouldn't be surprised if it was John that wrote Revelation. But that's what Jesus speaks to Nathanael about. This is what happens when heaven and earth really get connected. Jesus calls us friends, and he asks us to speak to our friends about what it's like to be a friend of God through Christ, to get connected with heaven. It isn't complicated. We don't need necessarily to have all the right words. I've just been on a conference for rural deans in the diocese with the bishops, and one of the things we were looking at is growing the faith of the church and growing the numbers of the church. And one of the comments that was made is that often we're quite good as churches and as organizations in inviting people to things, but we're sometimes fearful about then speaking about the gospel to them, because we think, well, they might go away. They might think we're strange. They might think we're a bit batty. Whereas quite often people are coming because they want to hear. They see something in us. Come and see. They see something in us which they might not understand, just as those early disciples didn't understand. But it is compelling, it is attractive, and it is engaging. The friends became the early disciples of Jesus. What they saw just spilled out, their passion and their enthusiasm and their awe of what they had seen in Christ. They couldn't keep in. Jesus then calls them friends. He asks us to share our faith in a simple way with our friends too. Come and see, and let Jesus do the rest. Amen.
Amen.